The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age, and it's a pleasure to be with you today in the not-so-wee hours of the PM for a full version of the show. We got two great guests today. We got none other than Mr. Dan Happel and Mr. G. Edward Griffin. But before we get into that, check out AnomicAge.com. Share all the links, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. PayPal.me/AnomicAge and Patreon.com. If you are so inclined, I encourage you highly to be a patron or at least donate or become a sponsor of the show. So, without further ado, hold on to your hats. We'll be joined by our guests in just a mere matter of moments. Stick around. It's my pleasure to welcome two amazing guests into the Anomic Age today. We've got Dan Happel from Connecting the Dots radio show, and we're definitely honored again to have for the first time on Mr. G. Edward Griffin, who really needs no introduction. He's been doing this for well over 50 years, The Creature from Jekyll Island, just among one of his publications, as well both of these individuals involved with Red Pill Expo. So we're very honored to have both of them with us today. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us on the program.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yes, thank you.
Indeed. It's a great pleasure to have both of you with us. Well, I'm sort of inclined to just sort of let you folks take the lead here. I mean, we could get into a number of the different insanities going on. I was talking to Dan a little bit before we got started. Just about a 24-hour show we could run just on the happenings in the last 4 or 5 hours. But I know the upcoming Red Pill Expo is going to be wonderful. Lots of great speakers to get into, lots of topics. So take it where you want to go, gentlemen. I don't know who wants to go first, but...
Yeah, we should have rehearsed this, right, Dan?
we should have. You go ahead and get started, Ed.
Okay, well, I guess if I can't talk about the Red Pill Expo, I can't talk about anything. So, sure. To us who've been living with the Red Pill Expo now for about... this is number 7, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's about 6 years... We've been at it, and now we're doing 2 a year, so that's how we get to the 7. And I think we've really got a good thing going here. The idea sprang from the concept that there was a small group of us who were really, we thought we were well-informed. And by comparison to the general public, I suppose that's true. And there's always a small remnant in society that it takes their responsibility very seriously. And we were in that core. We were thinking about how can we save the bloody world from itself and from its enemies. And there were so few of us, but yet we were all dedicated. We spent our lives, practically all of our awake and some of our sleeping hours, thinking about how do we do this better and so forth. And out of that came the concept that our enemy, and by that we mean our collectivist opponents, people that believe in collectivism as opposed to individualism, and those are two words that a lot of people don't really have a grip on, but I'll come back to that later perhaps. That is, as we see it, the core of our problem. How do we want society organized? Do we want governments that govern? Is that what we want the state to be, or do we want a protectorate that protects? And both of those are states, and people hadn't thought about the difference. They think that if you're going to have a state, it has to be a government. It has to govern you, because that's what we were born into. We're born with that word. And so the small group of us I'm talking about are the kind of people that think about, well, what are the alternatives, and why has mankind always failed to overthrow one tyrant without replacing him with another one? You know, with the possible exception of the American Revolution, the American experiment, when they, for the first time, drafted a constitutional republic, which was a rejection of that pattern. But even that soon was corrupted and destroyed practically. We see it in the process of final destruction now, it seems. So even that had its flaws. We think it was a very great beta model for sure. But so we worry about these things. We think about these things. And I'm getting to the point that we decided about 6 years ago, how do we reach out to more people? The average person out there, whether it's American or French or English, I don't care, anywhere in the world, they're all good people. Not all. That's the point. Not all. But I would say about 15% of the population are what I would call the predator class. The 85% are just good, wholesome people. They don't want to steal anything. They don't want to direct your lives. They want to be left alone. That's one of the problems, because they don't want to get involved in politics, which means that the other guys will, and then we all wind up being ruled by that other 15%. But the question is, how do we motivate and reach and inform that beautiful 85% of the world, and when we are only maybe 1%? And of course, it comes to the realization that history was always written by 1% of the population. You don't need 52% or 100% or anything. It's always that dedicated few that show up, the dedicated few that make sacrifices and dedicate their lives to it and so forth. So to make a long, very long story a little shorter, we decided to try and see if we couldn't do what our opponents, our enemies do. They're very wise and very experienced at organizing society. And we know how they work because they've written books on it. And some of them have even held schools on it. I've read a lot of communist literature that comes out of the 1950s, 1960s, and some even earlier than that. And these are textbooks on how to conquer a society from within. Not with guns and bayonets, but how to conquer the mind first, psychological warfare, all of these things. And our enemy is good at psychological warfare and organizing people and influencing the masses from behind the scenes. We thought, you know, we've been losing this battle for so long, maybe we ought to wake up and pay attention to what our enemy's been doing and see if we couldn't borrow a few tricks that they've got, so to speak. We didn't want to borrow their tactics. We didn't want to borrow their ethics or their goals. But they were very good at organizing. So the thing that came out of all of that is that every successful movement in history has always had a little bit of a center, a core, and then around it would have what most of them call rings of support groups, a little watered down perhaps in the mission, but they're all still on the page. And then around that, there's a larger group and a larger group, and finally you get out to the big political parties and so forth. We thought, you know, that's the way society is organized. So why don't we do something about that? And instead of fighting it, why don't we just recognize that's the way it is? So out of that discussion and that analysis came the idea of creating a ring around our central group, which we called Freedom Force International. Very serious group. Just that 1%, you know. Well, you can't change the world with 1%. That 1% has to. They can be leaders. They can be thought leaders. But they need to find their allies out there in the larger group. So we decided to build a ring. I'm finally coming to it. And we thought, how do we popularize this theme of liberty without having to say, come read the Constitution and enroll in a constitutional study class or something like that? And the idea came to us that maybe the red pill meme would be the thing, taken from that sci-fi movie, you know, The Matrix. It was now about 21 years old. And the whole idea, as most people know, is that in the story, in The Matrix, mankind was completely subservient to a computerized a matrix. It was actually not even a living thing. It was transhumanism, you might say, and we're dealing with that now. And it was a matrix. It wasn't real. People imagined that they were doing certain things. It was all in their minds. And they had to break out of the matrix and see life the way it really was. And so they took the red pill. And if they took the red pill, they would break out and see reality. And if a lot of people didn't like reality, they preferred the illusion, and they could take the blue pill, and they'd go back into their illusion, and they were happy, even though they really weren't living at all. They were just sort of wired up, and they weren't really humans at all. It was all in their mind. So we thought, you know, it's kind of corny maybe, but let's try and see if we could put most of the things that we're talking about into that concept, and talk about things instead of being, well, is it constitutional or is it not constitutional, or is it right or is it wrong, or all these things. We've talked about now, was it real, was it reality, or was it illusion? And all of a sudden, it was sort of a more interesting discussion for more people. And a lot of people will say, yeah, take the red pill, man, and wake up. So it was an experiment, and lo and behold, it turned out to be a very successful one. So we knew we were on the right track 6 years ago. Since then, we've been learning and growing and experimenting with different aspects of the Red Pill Expo, which is what we're talking about finally. And so we're having our seventh one now, which is scheduled for November 6th and 7th in Lafayette, Louisiana. And so what is the Red Pill Expo? It's a conference like any other conference, except the difference is that we're talking about not just one particular topic. We're talking about reality versus illusion in many different aspects of our lives. It's not just one thing. Some people are all lined up on the problems with education, and rightfully so. Some people are worried about health care, and rightfully so. Some people are worried about foreign wars, and rightfully so. Others write about taxes, and rightfully so. And what's happening to the dollar, and rightfully so. And there's a tendency to be splintered. And it comes a point where we have to look at each other and say, you know, we all have a common enemy. We all have one obstacle to our goal, and that's this mammoth governmental machine that assumes to take control of our lives, supposedly for our own good, and it takes over and it becomes a dictatorship. It's called collectivism. That's what it is. You know, the group is more important than the individual. Well, the group has to have leaders, and so the leaders become literally dictators, but they call themselves leaders of the people. They say, we represent the people. Baloney they do, and we can see that in today's politics. Everybody's saying, well, this is good for you, and we're gonna make you do this because it's good for you. And they don't give a darn about us. It's all about their personal agendas. So now we finally come to, what is the Red Pill Expo? It's a meeting. It's a conference, but it's one tremendous conference because we have experts there, as you'll see when you go to our website. We'll be speaking on many different topics, and they all represent exposing the illusion behind, or the illusion in front of the reality. And so what topics would those be? Well, COVID, of course, is the big one because that's in your face. We have to deal with that every day when we walk out the door. I was over in a hospital visiting today, and I thought, boy, all these people here are going to require masks over there in the hospital. And they do. But, you know, once you get in the room, and in fact, I got to tell you, this is very encouraging. I walked in the door, and there were these guards there, you know, and they say, have you been vaccinated? I said, nope. Oh, I see. Well, have you been tested positive? Or have you, you know, all the questions said, nope, 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 nope. And they said, okay, you can pass. I thought they were just going through the rig, checking the boxes off. And of course, they had put a mask on, but they let the unvaccinated people in. And when we get inside the hospital, I noticed that the staff, nobody was concerned with, if you took your mask off, if you were out in a group of people, they might say, you better put your mask on. But when you go into the room and you're talking with the patients and the doctors that come in, and they say, you can take your mask off if you want to, I thought, was very encouraged by that. Because this is a very big hospital. You know, 3 months ago, that wouldn't have happened. I'm off the track, of course. But the point is that these people in the hospital, especially in the medical profession, have seen through the illusion. I'm going to guess more than half of them now, especially the doctors, they see these people coming in with the vaccine injuries. They see them. And they're not allowed to talk about them, but, you know, that gets through to your subconscious. They don't want to take the vaccines anymore. And they don't have any problem with people like me, at least in this hospital, who has also got that same picture. So COVID is a big story. And I just put up a video last night, a brief introduction from a fellow by the name of John Titus. Now, John has discovered the most amazing thing about our money system and banking. I thought I was, you know, a sort of an expert on the Federal Reserve and what's going on in the monetary world. I read that stuff. I monitor it in the papers and so forth. But I missed this completely until I saw his report on it about 3 months ago. It's called Going Direct. Now, that didn't mean anything to me, and it probably doesn't mean much to most people. But John Titus has got it nailed, and he'll be talking about what that means in a nutshell. I could never summarize it adequately, but in a nutshell, the whole banking system and the monetary system is about to change drastically in concept. It's a bigger change, certainly as big a change as the creation of the Federal Reserve System in 1913. That changed the whole world of banking and money. This going direct in 2021 or 2022 is going to be as big a change in the system as the institution of central banking and the Federal Reserve System, if not more. And by that, I mean the money system is going to change. We're not going to have money as we know it anymore. And the central banks of the world will control the money, as they do now, but there'll be no other money than theirs. There'll be digital central bank currency. It'll be digital. And that means if you want to buy something, you have to use their digital currency, like their credit card, except you don't put money into it. They put money into it. We've seen the beginning of it now. People are being laid off. They don't have money. And so all of a sudden the government shows up like Michelangelo, Michael the Archangel, the Savior. Here's your money. And they're giving people free money. Oh, thank you, government. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, I don't have to work. I've got money. I can rescue my family, my business. It's all money coming in. They don't realize that now we're hooked, because if they turn off the money stream, we're through. We're now totally dependent on them. This is the change. This is the first inkling of what John is going to be talking about, is the new monetary system. It'll all be very much like you see in China, where there's a social credit system, and you won't really have money anymore. You'll have social credits. Think about that. The amount of spendable units you'll have for food and shelter and clothing or any of the pleasures you might want, or travel, or rent or anything. It would depend on how obedient you are to the state. Need I say more? This is in process, and I'm going to say it's over halfway already in development. And these, let me clean up the language. These gentlemen who are doing this plan to have it all done by 2030, and probably much sooner than that. So that's just one. I'll stop there and turn this over to Dan. But just to give the viewers an idea that we have a lot of different topics, and none of them are little diddly topics. These are big things that are going to affect and are affecting our lives today. That's what the Red Pill Expo is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and wow. Ed, thank you. I mean, that was terrific. I have to mention something else that we're doing, too, that's connected with the Red Pill Expo, and that is that all of our speakers that are at our events become alumni in the Red Pill University. And our idea was that we will have the Red Pill Expos, but then we will develop a university so that this can be an education system that continues, not just for the 2 days of the event twice a year, but 365 days a year. And we're working on setting up campuses around the country. That's part of also the same program. But this way, Freedom Force International, the Red Pill Expos can have a lasting presence and have something there that people can refer to literally 24/7, 365. And that's the important part about the concept of the Red Pill Expo, because we couldn't do that. We couldn't do the university unless we had the expos. It kind of evolved, as it were, from being just an event that we would do once or twice a year to something that's an umbrella for the whole world, for a program to make your mind become something other than just whatever the lamestream wants to put in it. In other words, we're liberating minds, and we're doing it through the university. Ed, I know you really, really put a lot of effort into the concept of the Red Pill University, and I just wanted to mention that because it is such an important part of a legacy that we're going to leave for the next number of generations. And the people that we've brought this to have really, really appreciated it. Red Pill University has really taken off, hasn't it, Dan?
Oh, yes, it has. And I'm glad you brought that up, Dan, because, yes, the Expo, as great as it is not an awful lot different in form, except that we've got such dramatic topics and such expert speakers. But the solution to creating a problem, now, I mean, I got this all backwards. Now, I'm thinking about problem. The solution to solving these problems is to take action. What do we do about it? There comes a time when you say, okay, I got it. But we're in a really tough strait. Now what are we going to do about it? Let's put aside all this learning business, as important as it is, and pick up our shields and our swords. You know, we got to do something about this. And that's where the university comes in, because it's not just learning and getting wonderful information together, but we're forming campuses. And our goal is to have one in every county in the United States. And this is a global movement. We already have some very strong interests in other countries around the world, not in counties, because they don't have counties, they have provinces and that kind of thing. But we call that boots on the ground. This is what our enemy has. They've got people at the local level, everywhere you look. We saw that when the COVID thing came along. All of a sudden, like overnight, everybody was saying the same thing. Mayors and governors and health officers and newscasters and all these people. It was like there was a heavy rain. And when the sun came up in the morning, we had a million mushrooms in the front yard. You know, they all came up. They were there. The spores were there. These people were in place. They're everywhere at the local level. It's not just, we're not going to solve this thing by saying, let's just put a man in the White House. Let's find a good man, one man. If we can just find a good man, get him in the White House, that'll take everything. That'll solve everything. No, it won't. We have to build from the grassroots up, just like our enemies have done. We have to be those mushrooms. So, and that is really, in my mind, the beauty of the Red Pill University, because with these campuses, we are putting boots on the ground, or mushrooms in the ground, you might say. And that's the only way we're going to build a counterforce to reverse this trend of collectivism.
And Ed, one of the things that came out of the Red Pill University, and we've now developed a whole program that we do during the Red Pill Expo, is something we call Why Fight City Hall When You Can Be City Hall. And we invite local legislators, state legislators, federal legislators, if they want to come and they want to be part of the process. We won't let them capture and take over the ideas, but they're there to learn and they're there to share. And we can get people to run for elective office and be part of the solution to bring our country back, because that's the reality. Our country was always designed, and we're going to talk about the world, but it's got to start with the United States, because we were the country that really, for the first time in world history, created a concept of a constitutional republic and a government of, by, and for the people that was supposed to be from the bottom up. And that's really what individualism is all about. That's at the very, very core of our organization, Freedom Force International. We need to stress the individual and the rights of the individual. It's like a forest. You cannot have a forest without a bunch of trees. And trees are individual items. They're not, you don't grow a forest that's just this big mass without any trees. Individuals make up any forest. And so we're doing the same thing. We're trying to concentrate on the individuals, strengthen, grow, nurture the individuals and the ideas of individual liberty. And then you'll have a healthy society. That worked very well at various times in our nation's history. And if we can do that, then we can expand that whole concept around the world. Because Freedom Force International, Ed, Don't we have members in 76 or 77 countries?
Oh, I haven't counted lately, Dan, but I'm sure that number is approximately correct. Yeah, a lot of countries. People around the world are facing the same problem. They don't have the same advantages that we have. We have a momentum. We've got a flywheel action, and thank God for that. Otherwise, I don't think we could have taken so much weight, so much garbage, you know, and still survive. But yeah, we still have the remnants of a free enterprise system. We have a culture still. It's becoming almost just for the old folks. But now the new kids are coming along, picking up the old culture of a work ethic and individualism again. So you see, it's beginning to work. Yeah, we have the flywheel action. We've got a nation where people own guns. And think about that. It's just commonplace. I mean, even though they're trying to get rid of that in America so they can put us in boxcars a lot easier, but they haven't done that. I mean, that's another thing that's kept America still. Otherwise, we would have been gone, just like Australia is right now. They took their guns.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you were saying, Ed, and it connects so well because I don't think a lot of people realize how lucky they are to have Red Pill. And even to have the internet that we have. And I hope we still have those things for a long time. But, I mean, I know both of you gentlemen have been doing this longer than me, and you've been in that world without the internet, and you sort of had to – what I did, I was listening to late-night radio, like the great mm-hmm. Art Bell and others that were some of the only folks really getting out this information 20-some-odd years ago or 30-some-odd years ago. So everybody's lucky to have Red Pill, and it being available all over the country, and the Red Pill University that you were getting into, I think that's really going to help people to wake up.
Well, it's certainly that's our plan, too. There's so many aspects to it, different facets of it, and some of it, or much of it, is still under development. Right now, we're really focusing heavily on how we survive the censorship. That means we have to build our own channels, our own internet channels, and I'm discovering that it's really possible. I think, at least I believe it is possible, but that means we have to get outside of YouTube and Twitter and all the other stuff that's the mainstream that's owned by big tech corporations. That means we have to go through distributed networks and that kind of thing. And that won't be easy because the opposition doesn't want us to do that, and they'll throw all kinds of obstacles in our way. They'll say, oh, these people are going into the dark net because that's where all the drug dealers are and the prostitution and so all that stuff. You know, they'll use psychological warfare to convince people to look the other way. But we know that. And I think just as people are now finally waking up to the fraud that's built into the COVID narrative, they're getting the information outside of the mainstreams of communication. It's leaking. This bucket that they built, or this chamber they built to keep all all information controlled, it's leaking, and it's leaking badly now. So I don't know what they're going to do. They'll probably come up with some other crisis to replace the COVID. But the encouraging part, and the reason I mention it, is that there are ways of actually working around the lock grip they have on communications if we just study it and develop the system. So that's one of the things that Red Pill University is working on right now. And finally, the other thought, and I'll be quiet and put it back in Dan's lap, but the other thing that came to mind is that one of the objects of Red Pill University, too, is to find candidates who don't want to be a politician. Mm-hmm. You know, here's where it usually goes like this. Well, we've got to get rid of those rascals, right? So it comes election time. We say, okay, we're going to get rid of these bad guys. Who's running for office? Well, it's too late. If you wait and see who's running for office, you know that there are people who just can hardly wait to get into office. And most of the time, you never heard of them before. And they tell you exactly what that you want to hear because they read the polls. But we don't know anything about their background or anything. What we need are people that don't want to run for office. They're not trying to get into politics so they can promote their hidden agendas. And so this is a little harder. Just think about that. How do you convince the perfect person to be in politics because they don't want to be there. They don't. They think politics is dirty. You know, politicians, I hate them. I don't want anything to do with them. No, that's the wrong attitude, because if you back away, these guys, these predator guys, are going to move in, and all of a sudden they'll be the mayors, they'll be the governors, they'll be the congressmen and the legislators, and they'll be telling you what to do. So we've got to find people that do not like this business, to go in there and clean it up. So you just don't do that by waiting till election time and say who's running for office. So one of the primary tasks of Red Pill University is to find those good men and women who, by their life experience, demonstrates that they are on the right page. They're not in it for anything except liberty. That's it. No personal gain, no special projects that they're promoting, you know, where they get a cut on it or something like that. It's just liberty. Get the government off our backs. And so that's a major thing for us to do. And, okay, I'll just stop there. But you see, there's so many things that become possible once you start building from the grassroots up instead of thinking about from the top down. And one last thing is that Red Pill University and Red Pill Expo and Freedom Force International, all of these are different aspects of the same thing. They are not an organization. We are not an organization in the typical sense. We are what should be called a coalition. Our object is not to be that single force where we have all the brain power and everything. We come up with the directives and everybody follows them and so forth. What we want is to build a tent with an ideology of individualism being superior to collectivism. And that's it. Then anybody with similar objectives, I mean objectives that depend on liberty, whether it's the health field or whether it's education or whatever it is, people who may disagree with each other on many items, they all have this common objective of wanting to be free to pursue those things in their lives that are important to them, so long as they don't prevent others from doing the same. So we're not building an organization, we're building a coalition. It's something that has not been done very often in history. It's a real challenge, and it's exciting to me and to Dan, I'm sure, to see that our first steps, these last, 8 years or so now, it's actually happening. We can see it right before our eyes. The momentum is building already, and so the foundation is there. So with that, I really am going to step aside and do as I promised.
Well, it's so key. I think the education angle of what you're saying is so key, because I always kind of liken it to an elephant at the circus that's held in by this little chain and a stake, but they convince that elephant when it's a baby, and they chain it down, and they say, well, you can never move this stake, even though it's an adult multi-thousand-ton animal, it could rip the whole tent down. And I think they've sort of done that with the American people. They've tricked so many people into believing they don't have power and they can't do anything about the status quo. And they've just sort of – they've conditioned them to it. It's what they've done. So one sort of piece of positive news I was looking at, I think from just 2 days ago, in Brooklyn, New York, there's an NBA player – Kyrie Irving, who's not taking the vaccine, and he's basically they're going to trade him or release him or something. But it was really nice, because the first home game, they had this huge cadre of people out there, and there were the usual Patriots, but there were also looked like some BLM people out there. And it was just a melting pot of people supporting this guy's right to say, no, I don't want to get this vaccine. No, I have the right to do with my own body what I want to. And this organization can't control me, this NBA team, the NBA itself, or what have you. And it was so wonderful, because, and I think the police were taken back, because it was kind of like, oh man, what do we do? We're supposed to give the green light to anything BLM, but they're out here with people waving American flags, huh? So I think they're almost at a Mexican standoff almost. Like, what are we going to do? The people are coming together, and they're seeing this for the big psyop that it is.
Ed, well, John, I want to get into this discussion, because I think it's so funny. When we talked about what kind of an organization we wanted to try to create in the very beginning, Ed came up with an idea. He says, how about a holographic organization where if one person or a group of people are taken out, there's no such thing as a hierarchy of control for this organization. It's a bunch of individuals who all share in the ideas of liberty together. And it's the common ground that we're talking about. And I have a very personal story that I want to share. And that is my good friend, Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia McKinney, most people are really shocked because she actually ran for president of the Green Party in 2008. She called herself a collectivist. But over a period of time, we've gotten to know Cynthia extremely well. And she's gotten to know us, and guess what? She thinks just like we do. She just thought that she believed in collectivism, and in fact, all she believes in is a whole lot of liberty for a whole lot of people, and each one of them individually. It's the conversation about a forest or a group of trees. And she's starting to realize that the world's a group of trees. And we've developed such a fine, fine relationship over the years. And it's because of this idea that we're a holographic organization. We aren't trying to control anyone. And you'll note very carefully that we do not promote a political party or a political candidate at our Red Pill Expos. We just don't do it. Now, we may have some people that we prefer their political philosophy, but we really don't like the idea of political parties. We like the idea of individual statesmen. And what we're trying to do is promote that whole concept of statesmen, going back to the idea that our country is run by people who are there for the very reason that they don't want to be there. It's what Ed said a little bit earlier. And that is really what the Red Pill University is all about. But it's also why we do such a special program on why fight City Hall when you can be City Hall. And I'll use a couple of examples of things that we can do when people attend the Red Pill Expo and become involved with it. Last summer, and in fact, Dr. David Martin has been to our last two Red Pill Expos as a speaker. He's going to be back, but he was at the meeting in Rapid City, South Dakota this summer, and we had a representative from Montana called Brad Cheetah, who is he was the majority whip of the Montana legislature. And a very good guy, super good guy. Well, he listened to Dr. Dave Martin at the Red Pill and realized what was going on with the vaccine mandates and all the other stuff. We got together in a radio program here about a month ago, and now Brad Cheetah is helping David Martin get connected with the Montana Attorney General's office to try to bring an action to the federal court system to stop the vaccine mandates. That's the kind of thing that wouldn't happen if we didn't have Red Pill Expos and we didn't have the kind of people that got involved in this whole process and realized that they can be the ones making a difference. And David Martin now is doing the same thing in Arizona, and I'm going to try to help him get connected with some of the people in the legislature in Arizona and the AG's office in Arizona. These are the kind of things that we can do and really spread the idea of liberty all over the world, and we have to start it right with our local groups. Ed, I know you're so excited about what we're doing with some of this stuff. And we're going to have another presenter at the Red Pill, Dr. Peter Pry, who is an expert on electromagnetic pulse weapons and natural phenomena. And one of our speakers at the event is Randy Pinocchi. Randy Pinocchi is a public service commissioner from Montana, and he and Dr. Pry are going to be doing a presentation before the Montana legislature on how to harden the electrical grid in the state of Montana. That's the kind of things that we can nurture with these programs like Red Pill Expo. That's where the rubber meets the road. And Ed, I know you're excited to be a big part of that whole concept.
Well, yeah, that's always been the thing from the beginning. We knew that the Internet is a great tool, and you can accomplish a lot on the Internet, and you can communicate by email and on the telephone. But there's nothing like meeting face-to-face. There's nothing like showing up. And when you look somebody in the eye and you sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, have a conversation with them, you begin to get a sense of their character, their sincerity, the depth of their knowledge, their commitment. A lot of things come through in that personal space that just doesn't make it across the Internet. And I think that's one of the reasons that our collectivist opponents don't want us out of our homes. They want us locked down, you know. They don't want us closer than 6 feet apart. They don't want us to look into each other's eyes and form a coalition, because that's the only way they know. It's the only way that they can be toppled, is if people get together and find out who they like, who they can work with, sit down and say, well, what are we going to do about this here in our community? Well, let's get together and see if we can't organize a meeting. Maybe we can raise some money. You know, things happen when you talk to people and you recognize you're of like mind. That's the strength of coming to these Red Pill Expos. It's one of the, perhaps the main reason we do it this way. No, not perhaps. It is the main reason we do it this way, instead of just going on the Internet and doing it virtual, because we want to bring people together and create this coalition, and it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's one of the things they always want. They want you to feel alone. They want you to feel like, oh, you're the only guy in Tennessee that feels this way, or the only guy in Michigan or Louisiana or what have you. They want you to feel like it's just you. You're one of those kooks that thinks the Federal Reserve is a private organization.
Yeah. Or a kook that thinks that the government controls the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Now, those are the kooks, of course.
Well, you know, the other thing, I guess we need to mention this, Ed, if people can't go to our Red Pill Expo and they can't physically be there, which is really the preferred option, but if you cannot be, there's also an option that they can live stream our entire event, and they can live stream it for up to a month. And so if they're at work and they have to work every day and they can't go 1,000 miles, 1,500 miles to a Red Pill Expo, they can still get the information by going to our live stream, signing up for our live stream, and getting that information, and then watch it in their time frame, in their, at their leisure, when it is convenient for them. And so the Red Pill Expo is something that literally everybody in the world can have an opportunity to be part of this event.
Right. It's so true. In fact, what we really want eventually is to have little expos going on everywhere at the same time, as close to the grassroots as you can get it. Maybe have a big event, of course, but if we could have, just imagine, if we could have on that same weekend, we could broadcast some of our major programs out into the world, and they would add their own local presenters to it, and we could have maybe 500 or 800 little expos going on everywhere in the world. Wow, what a powerful force that would be.
It would do that, brush fires in the hearts of men. I think that's exactly what we need, because everybody is so inundated with the negative right now. If you look on the mainstream or even the alternative news, it's dark. It's tons of darkness. But I think your program really serves to unite people and connect all those people from all those different walks of life, so they can at least for those few days get together with like-minded people and feel like, you know, that big collective exhale. Like we can be around our people, so to speak, and
right.
And John, the Red Pill University, the idea of the Red Pill University and the campus system. See, this is how you cast the seed, because once you get all these little campuses scattered all over, literally all over the world, we will have the ability then to have those little expos everywhere. This is how groups grow the kind of sense of freedom that we're trying to create. And that's the way it's going to happen. So it's a matter, folks, just participate. join, come to the Red Pill Expo, join the Red Pill University. If you can't be there in person, then go and get a live stream pass to the expo so that you can share in that whole experience. If we do this 1,000 times, that's exactly how we are going to grow this whole movement to the point where they can't stop us.
Okay. What can you say to that, Dan? A good summary. That's probably... What more? That's it. That's our message, isn't it? There is hope. There's more than hope. There's a plan, and there's evidence that it's working. It's not just hope. It's not just a harebrained idea. It's real. So what are you waiting for? Let's go.
Exactly. And we've seen, John, you've seen it yourself. We've talked about it a little bit. We have seen so much hope in the last 60, 90 days. People are finally starting to wake up and realize the only way we're going to save ourselves is to save ourselves. We can't expect anybody else to do it for us, so we've got to get out and be part of the solution. And I've seen things in the last 90 days that, quite honestly, there were times in my life where I'd almost given up hope that we could win this battle, because it just seemed like people did not want to pick up the gauntlet. They didn't want to be part of the solution. They were just going to fumble along and continue to watch their football and their TVs and not do anything. Well, guess what? The last year under the COVID lockdowns has done more to free this country than I've ever seen in my lifetime. And, Ed, I think you would agree with that. They pushed it too far. They used their power to try to hold the people down. And thank God we live in the country we do, because all it did was piss a lot of people off. And I saw over the weekend in Scranton, Pennsylvania, I don't know if anybody saw that, Biden went to Scranton, Pennsylvania. There were like 18 people that were there to support him. And for miles along the road, there were Let's Go Brandon signs everywhere. I've got a Let's Go Brandon T-shirt on order. I mean, this is the kind of thing that people have just had enough. And so if you really think you've had enough, come to Lafayette, Louisiana, and you can be part of the whole movement to solve the problem of taking away our rights. You can be part of the solution to bringing our country and our world back to the idea that individuals really do have freedom.
And one final, how it's just backfired on them so much, because I think they thought this was it. This was going to be their Agenda 2030 moment. We're going to get everybody locked down. We're going to get everybody vaccinated. And I think it's really backfired because they didn't really count on the gaslighting not working. I mean, like you said, in Scranton, and like I was mentioning in New York, people are getting together behind this. They're going, hey, yeah, oh, you're Hispanic. Oh, yeah, you're Italian. Yeah, yeah, we don't like this either. This is baloney. We need to get together on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, you mentioned BLM. How they've been successful at fragmenting and destroying us is by making us all fight one another. We've got to realize one thing. The enemy that we're facing is not an enemy of a particular color, creed, religion, idea. The enemy is those who want to suppress everything that represents freedom. And they've been incredibly successful by slicing and dicing and separating and causing everybody to distrust each other. What we've got to do is learn to distrust the people who are actually the ones doing this to us. And I think we're there. I think we're at a point where I see that BLM now is working on the anti-vax movement. They are trying to, because naturally they want black people to be vaccinated so that they can be part of the genocide solution for the world. And, hey, folks, we're in this common We're in this battle together against a common enemy. We just need to make sure that we don't fight each other. We fight the right people. And we'll do that with Red Pill Expos.
Yeah, it's like that George Carlin line. It's a big club, and we're not in the club.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what color you are on the boxcar. We're all going to the same spot, so we got to get together on this.
Right.
Yeah, that is a great line. Yeah, it's the elite club, and we ain't invited.
Yeah, only to Dachau, you know, on the boxcar.
Well, there's so many wonderful guests to get into on here. A few of them I've definitely talked to on this show, but there's so many others. If you want to get into some of these, you got Dale Bigtree, love his work. Mr. Ty Bollinger, just a fount of information on the naturopathic, homeopathic, just scientific way to cure so many different ailments. I mean, it's just a all-star cast, as it always seems to be.
It is, and there's some big names that you've mentioned them, and a couple of names that most people wouldn't recognize. And the reason they're there is not just to mix up big and small, but because their messages are so powerful. I already mentioned John Titus. I don't think most people have ever heard of him, but they will because his message is so big. And then there's this lady, Dan, you could talk to her to us about her more because you've talked to her personally at more at length, but I'm talking about Dr. Engel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Juliet Engel is a quite famous physician. She was a radiologist. She actually was one of the pioneers of some of the MRI technology for ultrasound. And this lady was raised, and this is a scary thing, she was raised by two parents that were CIA operatives under the program called MK Ultra Sex Magic. And from the time she was 5 years old, she was prostituted by her parents and got involved in this horrible program. And she's the most wonderful, credible lady in the world. She escaped when she was 17 years old, put herself through medical school, and got a university degree, and then put herself through medical school and became hugely successful in the medical field. And then when she was so successful with that, she decided, I've got to do more. So she sold her practice, moved to Russia, and helped the pipeline to free over 10,000 kids that were being streamed through the child pornography and sex trafficking in Russia. And so these are the kind of people. And nobody's really heard of Juliet. She's got a book called Sparky, all about her time as a child going through the sex magic program. She also wrote a book called Angels Over Moscow, and that's about her time when she was freeing all these young children that were being trafficked in the whole sex program in Russia. So this is, Ed, this is a perfect example, and we really kind of, she had approached you before, but we really kind of met her at the last expo in Rapid City. She happened to sit down next to us at dinner, and we started visiting, and what a wonderful lady and what a powerful message. Mm-hmm. And it's from somebody, I mean, you hear about MKUltra, you hear about some of these programs, but I'm telling you, this lady is the most absolutely rock-solid, credible person in the world, and that's why it's so important for her to be the one telling this story about this program.
Yeah, and to me, another aspect of her story that's so important from our point of view and why she's on the expo is not just because it's an amazing story, a heartbreaking story and uplifting at the same time, but because she concludes at the end of all of this that a lot of the people that were in this CIA program when she was young are in upper echelon positions in government and corporate world today. And they are programmed like robots, like they made, you know, loss of memory, planted visions, hidden commands, multiple personalities, all of these things. And if you've looked at some of these politicians and said, these people don't, they look like they get multiple personalities or something, it's because they do. Mm-hmm. They're under command. And this is amazing to hear coming from her because she lived through it.
She lived through it. And the thing is that we've always heard about the Manchurian candidate, the concept of the Manchurian mm-hmm. candidates. She's someone who can tell you how that program worked.
Yeah.
And she was there and she saw it happen. And she says exactly as Ed said, she said at the very top of the institutions in our country now that are controlling things, they've got these Manchurian candidates, probably people like Joe Biden, could very well be one of the people that was part of that program when he was a kid or a youngster. So it does happen and it happens a lot. And this is why red pills are so important.
Well, what can we say now except to say anybody want to come?
Well, I've got to talk about our MC for the event, Mike okay. Church. I don't know if people, I'm telling you, I was so excited to find out that Mike Church has got his own radio station down in the New Orleans area. But Mike Church was one of the founders of Sirius Satellite, the Patriot channel on satellite radio. He was one of the founders, and he was in from the very beginning. And so this is a guy who is going to be our MC for the event. He literally has interviewed everybody. He was on Ron Paul's team. He was his media guy. So this is somebody who's going to be our MC, and I'm telling you, this is going to be so much fun. We're going to have a blast.
And I know it's in Louisiana. I was talking with Badass Uncle Sam in that neck of the woods not too long ago, a couple weeks back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's going to be there in his Uncle Sam suit and his traveling microphone. He'll be getting opinions and comments and making plenty of his own. And he's a very colorful guy, has a big following in the area. I had a chance to talk to him briefly on the internet, like we're doing now, but I'm really looking forward to meeting him in person.
Definitely.
And we've got someone that's going to be a speaker at our event by the name of Christy Hutcherson.
Oh, yeah.
She founded an organization called Women Fighting for America, but she's been literally living on the border for the last year on our southern border. Trying to stop the human trafficking and the not only human trafficking, but drug smuggling is part of that. And she has some horrifying stories of the things that are going on our southern border. They're transporting these people, these gangs, all these people around the country. They're doing this for a reason. They're doing it to destabilize our country. That's why we need people to come to this event, learn as much as you can about why things are the way they are, connect the dots. A little plug for my radio show, but connect the dots, because once you connect the dots, you realize how totally connected we are as a world and how totally connected we are as a society and how totally connected the handful of people that are running this world and creating the kind of chaos that they are creating, how connected they are as well, and how we can fight them.
You know, that just gave me an idea as you were saying that, Dan. They are, our opponents are totally connected at the top, aren't they? The banking interests and the political interests. And there's that occult element that's always there hiding in the background. But as great a connection as that is, we're connected around the world at the bottom, where humanity is. And they have all the money, it seems like. Well, they make the bloody stuff, so they have all the money they need. They have the political power. They own so many of the power centers in society. But we have that foundation. We have the population. We have the heartbeat of the human race, the instinct, the passion for liberty. They would give anything for that. They have to buy the semblance of loyalty with money and blackmail and threats of all kinds. And they're doing a good job of it, by the way. But we don't have the money to buy that, of course. We wouldn't want to buy it anyway, and we don't have to because it's there. It's there, and they can't take that away. They would give anything to have that kind of a connection. So all we have to do is awaken the slumbering giant and say, look, let's get together. That people all around the world, as you said before, of different races, different cultures, different religions, different lifestyles, different languages, all these things, they all are brothers and sisters under the skin when it comes to wanting to be free. So that is our connection around the world. So, yeah, I like your idea, connecting those dots. Those dots are the ones that are going to bring us to liberty and freedom.
Exactly.
I think that's key. I mean, I can never speak for everyone, but definitely folks like yourselves and all the different people I've gotten to speak with on this show, that ego is just not there. We're all in this for the same reasons. We're not pulling that Hillary Clinton, don't look me in the eyes, you can't call me kind of card. I mean, it's everybody has that unifying principle of togetherness and oneness. And we want to talk to each other. We want to connect, and we want to make this world a better place. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. That is what it's all about. And, of course, that's why we are so proud of really having the opportunity to do these Red Pill Expos around the country. This is, Ed mentioned, this is the seventh one we've done. We did one in Bozeman, Montana, in Spokane, Washington, in Hartford, Connecticut, in Rapid City, South Dakota, in Mesquite, Nevada. We are trying to really cover, oh, Jekyll Island, Georgia. How could we forget that?
Right.
We have been covering such a large geographic area, and we try to bring these expos to different parts of the country for a very specific reason. We want people to realize that we're not trying to serve a particular group of people. We're trying to create a format for every living person in the world who wants to be part of a freedom movement and understands individualism versus collectivism. If, you know, at some point we may end up who knows where around the world with Red Pill Expos. I'd enjoy that a great deal. It's now just a matter of getting all the forces in play and getting people to wake up to the reality of the world we live in, the matrix we live in.
Well, that's a good close, Dan, I would say. So all I can add is if there's anybody out there that's got that crusader gene vibrating in them and they want to do something really, really that makes a difference, the place to start is at redpillexpo.org. Come take a look at our tremendous platform, our speakers and the topics. Take a look at the people and the character, their lives, what they've done, what's their history. And you'll know you're in the right group of people if you want to make a difference in the world. And the next step is, either sign up for a live stream or, better yet, get in the old jalopy, load the family into the car, travel across the country a little bit, see the country from the ground for a change, like the good old days. Like my wife and I are going, we're planning to drive all the way across from California to Louisiana. We scheduled it out. We're going to have fun doing it. And on the way back, we're going to see some friends and like the good old days. So that's what I invite everybody to do. Let's get back to the good old days.
Amen. Get back to the good old days when the United States of America was a bastion of freedom, or at least we thought it was.
It had its enemies. Those mushrooms hadn't come up yet. They were still the spores in the ground. Yeah, but back to, I guess, maybe let's say go forward to the good old days.
Right.
Yeah. We all know what we're talking about. There's a much better way, and we lived a better life then, and we're going to live a much better life everywhere in the world if we have anything to say about it. So join with us, and let's just make it happen.
Indeed. I echo those sentiments 110%. I can't thank you both enough. I know we're plugging the Red Pill quite heavily today, but anytime you want to come back on, the invitation is always there. We can talk about anything you want. I'd love to have either of you or both be back on again. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John. Pleasure to be there.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'll say
that one more time. I know Mr. Griffin just said that, but redpillexpo.org. You can find that at anomicage.com. I'll have all the links there available. As he said, once again, you can join them in Louisiana or check it out via live stream. if you folks will stick around for a second, I will I'll close things up here.
All right.
As always, folks, I'll close with this. You can't do everything, but you can do something. Please get out there and do your part and make that difference. Until next time, be safe out there. I'll be seeing you sooner than later in the Anama Cage.
Thank you for listening to the Anama Cage, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anamicage.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to the Anama Cage. I'm going to go to the next one.